Father, thank you again for a beautiful day, for a day to celebrate what it means to be a father and what you have called us to do as fathers. Lord, we will remind everyone around us that being a father, being a child is a great privilege because we get to learn more about you. Father, thank you for calling us together today, and we ask for your presence to be with us. May your Spirit lead us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, John, play it.
Don't let yourself be destroyed as Obi-Wan did. There is no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed
me. I am your father.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true. Destroy the Emperor. He has foreseen this. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
This was something that Luke did not want to hear. It sounded so improbable that he dismissed the possibility altogether. He rejected that choice, that truth emotionally, and instead chose to fall. He didn't die, by the way. You all know there's still plenty of movies to come. Right. You know, in the Star Wars universe, yeah, and that's how we talk about it these days, this was a mystery that unveiled in order to complicate the plot and keep the movies a-going. Okay? That's how it served. Okay? But the funny thing is that in a sideways sort of way, a lot of people feel the same type of mystery when it comes to God. There's a mysteriousness. There's an uncertainty. There's even sometimes an awkwardness. And sometimes we don't even like the truth. We have questions that run through our minds if we're honest. Things like, well, is he benevolent? Is he tyrannical? Is he personal? Is he distant? Is he connected? Is he disconnected? Is he powerful? Is he impotent? All those questions. It's about the fact that we need to know God better. So today I thought, since it is Sunday, Father's Day, how ironic that might be, that we're talking about God our Father on a day where we worship Him, which is Father's Day, where we spend a little bit of time talking about the truth about our Father. What's real? So first I want to dispel a few of the things that we might call elements of disinformation about our Heavenly Father. So let's look at those for a few minutes. The first is this. God is your Father. This world did not make you. The culture did not make you. You did not make you. God is your Father. Now, you want to talk about biology and you want to say, well, my mom and my dad made you. But if you really think about it, how did that happen? How is it possible that a heartbeat comes from the things that a heartbeat comes from? How does a person become who they become? Characteristics and personalities, you don't get that out of DNA. God is involved. God is our Father. And if we look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, we see this reflected some. So let's read it, and then we'll focus for just a second on the part that's in bold. So here Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will that get you? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not pagans even do that?" Then He says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." The world did not make you and me. God made you and me. He superintended all that happened when it came to be. He was in charge. His hand was on us. If God is your Father, and He is, the truth is, if we look at this passage, that He wants us to bear His resemblance. So, a father has children. Children resemble their parents. Jason, you guys, whoever it was, it may have been Lexi, that posted the picture of Luke and Ryan from the FCA baseball game this last Monday. You know, once those things hit Facebook and you hit share, you never know who's going to see that. And so I had like two or three of the gals that I went to high school with back in Atlanta, who, you know, who make the comment, "He looks just like you." He, Luke doesn't look just like me. But, you know, from that perspective of what they remember of me from when I was 18 years old, and they look at my son and they see him at 17, they go, "He's the spitting image." And whenever we hear that, there's an element of us dads where we really, we just kind of glow. We love that. We like that. It makes us feel good to hear someone say, "They're just like you. They look just like," in some way, you know. It's just something about it that does something for us. I don't know if the kids feel about it the same way, but we as parents, that's what we want to hear. And I believe that that is a part of the wiring that God has placed in all of us, is that He's our Father, and He wants us to know that He, you know, Larry Spear used to say whenever he would talk to us, He's got our picture on His refrigerator. And He's our dad. And He takes great joy whenever we resemble Him and when we become more and more like Him. And that's something that we need to remember. If He's our Father, then that's something that He hopes and desires for us more than anything else. Second thing, God loves you. John 3:16, who can't quote it? Okay? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loves us. He cares about us. Something that we have to deal with and destroy this disinformation is any idea that God is angry with us all the time. God is not angry with us all the time. God loves us dearly, deeply, and desperately. What He is He is very angry about the things that hurt us and hold us back and in some way mar the image that He has placed within us that represents who He is and who He wants us to be. Anything that hurts us, that gives us pain, that gives us struggle, that causes us to in some way struggle with being holy, righteous, and joyful. He hates that. But it's not us that he hates. And it's not us that he's angry with. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to look at the truth and see what the truth says instead of any picture that culture, society, or anyone else might represent for us. We need to understand God loves us. He's not angry with us. He has always done everything that he can to communicate his unconditional love. And that's what Jesus dying on the cross was. God loved us enough that he would not withhold even his son as an offering to cover our sin. That's how much he loves us. Also, in a practical manner, for each one of us, every one of us, when we get, I believe, get to heaven, we'll see the full story. But right now, there are times where we can see the outcroppings of the stories of how God has come after us. How he has never just said, oh, just let him go. He has always pursued us. He has always come after us. He has never let us alone. Even when we feel alone, he has never let us alone. And he has done what he can to remind us that he is there, that he is with us, that he loves us, that he has something for us that we have not yet experienced, and that there is always something more of knowing him and being his child. God loves us enough to continue to come after us, even if we choose to walk away. Isn't that what we found whenever we looked at the story of the parable that Jesus gave about the prodigal son? The son left, took what really wasn't his, truthfully, legally, traditionally. Father gave it to him. He walks away. He wastes it. And then when he comes back, thinking he's going to humble himself and be a servant, the father receives him again with open arms. That's the story. That's the father that we have. He is not angry with us. He's not mad at us. He is desiring to be intimate, to be close to us. He just wants us with him where he is. Forever. He wants us to choose him the same way he chose us. Third thing, God is protecting you and me, protecting us. John 17, 13 through 19 is a portion of Jesus' prayer in the garden that we see recorded by John. You'll see that this prayer recorded by John that Jesus offered in the garden is longer than any of the other discussions or records of what was happening between Jesus' Last Supper and the arrest. This chapter expands that. And there's this long prayer that Jesus offers. And there are some very important things that are said in that prayer. He's talking to God and he's saying, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they, that's his disciples, may know that may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. He's talking about people like you and me. We're not of the world any more than he was. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. God is our Father. He wants the best for us. And he is at work in ways you and I never see and will never understand until we are with him, that he has orchestrated, cared for, and intervened. And yet we sit around here acting like God is not involved in our lives a lot of times. But the truth is, he is protecting us all the time. And he says again, we are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may too be truly sanctified. We have got to destroy this idea that God is distant and disconnected. He is, like I just said, all throughout our day and all throughout our week and all throughout our lives, doing things, arranging things, moving in people's lives, in ways that demonstrate he is with us. This whole idea of God being a cosmic clock architect who created the watch and twisted it and then set it off in motion and walked away from it is ridiculous. If that were the case, Jesus never would have been called Emmanuel, God with us, in the story of the narrative where we're talking about Jesus being born and coming into the world. That's not what it would be. In ways that you and I cannot see, God is saving us. Have you ever had one of those experiences that you cannot explain? Something bad looked like it was going to happen and then all of a sudden it didn't? Far too often we just explain those things away. And the reality is God is around. His angels are around us. And there are there are times in life where I know that I was being stupid and God rescued me from my own stupidity. Or I made a bad choice and He rescued me from my bad choice. I didn't deserve that. But because He is my Father, even though I'm not perfect, He still saw fit to rescue me. Got the stories in your life too? We got to hold on to those and not let them go. They need to be the most vivid things in our memories. And this doesn't mean, though, that God placates our whims. It doesn't mean that He does everything that we prefer Him to do just because He's our Father. See, we have this problem with culture. Culture says, oh, Daddy will get you out of everything. Daddy will save me from it. I won't have to deal with the harsh consequences. I won't have to deal with this. And that's not what God protecting us means. What it means is He is with us, He covers us, and He says He will never leave us. But He is not going to help us to be self-centered. He's not going to help us think that He's just a sugar daddy. He's not just a sugar daddy. He wants us to grow up. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. He's our Father. And the fourth thing we need to talk about is the fact that He is helping us grow up. And that's His job. We look in Hebrews, we see a passage where it talks about earthly fathers and heavenly fathers. He says here in Hebrews 12, 7 through 11, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons or daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. God is not arbitrary. God is not fickle. He is not capricious. We can't have this picture of God like either God doesn't know what He's doing or that He does things on the spur of the moment. There's nothing in the Bible that would confirm that. If He planned for Jesus to die for our sins when He did, at the time He did, from the foundation of the world, how in the world can He be fickle, capricious, or make spontaneous decisions? That's not who He is. It's not His character. Not His personality. This is many times, I think, part of God being our Father that we struggle with because we have bought into that idea that God is Daddy and He's supposed to solve all our problems. That if we'll just pray or we'll just do the right things, then we're some system or there's some kind of way that we can arrange things that God will then do what we need Him to do in order to do what we want Him to do. But that's not how we grow up. We don't grow up by not having to deal with things. He's here to help us grow up and not become spiritually soft and self-centered. So sometimes, if you're a father, you have to let your kids deal with some of the consequences, right? Because they don't learn. I've been there. I didn't learn unless my hard-headed, knuckle-headed self had to deal with, well, I don't want to do that again. That didn't go where I wanted it to go. So let me turn my attention now for just a minute. These four things are true about our Heavenly Father. Since we're talking about dads, let's talk about earthly dads for a couple minutes. First thing I want to say here is that it's true, earthly dads reflect God's image. Now, that's not to say that every earthly dad is perfect. God is perfect, and last time I checked, I wasn't. But the truth is, still, the whole idea of the fact that there are fathers reflects who God is, and in some way, God planned it so that fathers reveal something of who He is and how He relates to us. And that is, you can't say that that's not there. It's all throughout Scripture. So, in Hebrews 12, the next couple of verses, it says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it, so how much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they saw best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness." So whether it's a good or bad reflection, it doesn't really matter as far as talking about what the role of being a dad is about. Yeah, there's some of us who have experienced parents who did not fulfill the best role all the time as parents, fathers. And a lot of times, I haven't done what I need to do. Anybody else want to raise your hand? Okay. But the reality is, that doesn't change what a father represents and what a father is supposed to stand for in God's arrangement of the world. It speaks to us about who God is, and then it also speaks to us dads about who we are to become. And we're not there yet. We're all growing. We're all changing. You know, the sad part is about the time where I get wise is whenever my teenager's out of the house, right? I've had to experience all this going through having teenagers and being a dad, and then all of a sudden when I think I finally get my hand on it, they're gone. We reflect God's image. But just because there are such a thing and we are such a thing as flawed fathers doesn't mean that that flaw represents God. God is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. And I'm becoming more like that because He has told me that I am in Jesus. But that doesn't mean that because I'm flawed that God's flawed. But that is the last point. That is, earthly dads aren't perfect. Matthew 7, 9 through 12. Jesus was speaking and He said, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Hey, isn't that a good place to put the golden rule? Being imperfect doesn't mean that God does not use us. He does, and that's His plan. Pretty remarkable that God can use imperfect dads to represent Him as a perfect dad. Now, not all of us have had the blessing of having parents that are driven the same way. Some of us had terrible, terrible fathers. Okay? Others of us have had wonderful fathers. But there's somebody in your life that God brought to be a father for you at some point, some way. And that's how God expands our family. At least that's how He expanded mine. For me, it was a couple of coaches. When my folks got divorced when I was 10, I was no longer living in a house with my dad. I would go see him on the weekends, a couple times a month. But there was a big gap, a large gap to overcome in life, not having my dad in my house from the time that I was 10 till I grew up. But there were people in my life day to day who served that role. And it's been remarkable to see how those people also encountered Jesus and now have changed or grown. It brings tears to my eyes the way God does all that. God uses imperfect people. We cannot let up on declaring that truth. Because if we try to wait till we're perfect before we try to be a great dad, we're not doing what God wants us to do. He wants us right now. He wants our hearts. And dads, that's what Father's Day honors, is the dads whose heart is there being a father. Honoring dads. So we're going to end today. As soon as the younger kids come back, and Matt and the Kids Zone folks will be back in just a minute. We'll do some things that are a little different for some of you. You know how at the end of the Mother's Day worship time, what do we normally do? We'll ask the mothers to stand up, then what do? We'll give them flowers, okay? Well, dads don't exactly relate in the same way. So we're not going to give the dads flowers. How about that? And in the past, we have actually done things like ask the dads to stand, and then we've said, oh, here you go, here's a book. Now, I don't know about you, but I know some guys that do read a lot, don't get me wrong, but giving a book to a dad sometimes is kind of like saying, here, use it as a fly swatter. there you go. Yeah, that's right. You got a DVD. There you go, Brian. So we're not giving flowers and we're not giving books. We do have alternative things. But in this few moments before the kids recess back in into here, I just want us to be quiet before God. And I want you to reflect on the things you've learned from your father, whether it was good or bad. Both. And I want you to thank God for the things that you know reflected God's character. And I challenge you to forgive your dad for those things that didn't, because that's equally important. So let's bow. Father, thank you for our fathers here on earth. Thank you for how you teach us about who you are through them. And Lord, thank you for making that picture very clear and personal, because that's what you want to be with us. Father, in this time, I pray that we would be able to embrace those things about our dads that brought blessing to our lives. Father, also help us to forgive our dads because they weren't perfect. And Lord, those of us who are dads now, help us to be honest and fair with ourselves, because there's times where we do a great job reflecting your love and your care and your protection for our kids and represent your character well. But then, Lord, there's times where we don't. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to forgive ourselves. Lord, we gather on Sundays to honor you as our Father, the God who loves us. Lord, let us find joy in being your kids. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to give to you anything. Put to death those things that might keep us from experiencing all the joy and peace that you want us to know. We thank you for Jesus, that we can have peace and joy and eternal life because he was risen from the dead, because he died in our place. If when you came in you got a prayer card and you need to write prayer requests on that card, please do that. You can put them in the baskets on your way out today. There's baskets in the back. There's a couple of baskets here in the front. Please know that we do pray with you about those things through the week. I pray today as we close, and we pray over our dads in just a minute, that you would let this be an ongoing conversation between you and God this week about the influence of your dad, and if you're a dad, your influence on your kids, because God wants to use that. Also, I always give the disclaimer, if there's something that God has spoken to you about today that has nothing to do with what I've said, you listen to God, because that's why you were here today. I thank you for this time, Lord, before you as your people. In Jesus' name I pray. All right, come on in, Scott. Scott has picked out a few for me. Why don't you come on up? Okay, we're good. We've got some things. Instead of flowers, I want all the dads to stand, please. Your dad, please stand. All right, what we have is wrenches and screwdrivers. Every dad gets a wrench or a screwdriver. So kids, you've got buckets. Make sure every dad gets a wrench or a screwdriver. And you don't know how hard it was to keep Will Manning away from the shiny instruments before service. Make sure every dad gets a wrench or a screwdriver. And then, yeah, the real pragmatic dads, you'll swap probably. You'll exchange before you leave. You got a wrench or a screwdriver? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want everybody around the dads to put your hand on a dad. Come on up here, Will. Put your hand on Mr. Gary. All right, now here, this is silly, I know, but hang with me, okay? All right, dads, put your tool in the sky. This is representing us before God, okay? We're representing ourselves before God. This tool, we are instruments in God's hands. All right, let's bow. Father God, we thank you for these dads. Thank you for this blessing. Lord, we pray as we lift whatever tool we've got that we are saying we are yours. And whatever we have, Lord, is for you to use. Let us be a blessing. And we ask for the overflow of your blessing in our lives. Thank you, Father. Amen.